WYPR is here to keep you connected to your community. And as our communities change amid the coronavirus pandemic, that connection is more important than ever before. Member support makes it possible. And if you can, we hope you'll help us out. If you're a sustaining member, consider increasing your monthly pledge or become a new member with a first-time gift. Come to WYPR.org and click the donate link. And thanks.
This is Anibon Basu with your Monday Morning Economic Report. America's H-2B visa program allows unskilled workers from a number of nations, including Mexico, the Philippines, Jamaica, and dozens of other nations, to take temporary non-farm jobs in the United States. As indicated by writer Patricia Cohen, unions and those who generally oppose immigration argue that the H-2B visa program suppresses wages and deprives Americans of jobs. Some groups claim that foreign workers are being exploited. But many business groups point out that without this program, there just aren't enough workers available to hire, inducing some businesses to hire undocumented immigrants surreptitiously at below-market wages. Conflict has intensified this year, with recent changes in the program catching many employers by surprise, threatening Maryland's crab industry and tourist havens around the country. Congress has capped the annual number of H-2B visas at 66,000. Evenly split between winter and summer seasons. But here's the thing. Workers from previous years used to be excluded from the quota. But Congress halted that practice in 2017, forcing seasonal businesses like landscapers to scramble for talent. For WYPR, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Tuesday Morning Economic Report. Economists expect America's presently low unemployment rate to go even lower over the next year, ultimately reaching levels not seen for half a century. Private sector economic forecasters recently surveyed by the Wall Street Journal see the jobless rate falling to 3.7% by the end of this year and to 3.6% by mid-year 2019. In June, the nation's unemployment rate ticked up to 4% as a flurry of people entered the labor market. May's 3.8% unemployment rate was the lowest since April of 2000, when the jobless rate was also 3.8%. It hasn't been below that level since December of 1969, when it was 3.5%. Indeed, as indicated by writer Ben Lubsdorf, unemployment has rarely been lower than it is presently beyond wartime. Since the Labor Department began maintaining monthly records in 1948, the lowest jobless rate was 2.5% in May and June of 1953, near the end of the Korean War. Annual unemployment was just 1.2% in 1944, during the height of World War II. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Wednesday Morning Economic Report. There are growing signs of inflationary pressures in a variety of data series. For example, the Producer Price Index, a measure of what businesses are paying for inputs, jumped 3.4% in June from a year earlier. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, that represents the strongest gain since late 2011 when oil was priced at more than $100 per barrel. Rising prices for transportation and warehousing services helped push overall costs higher, according to writers Sarah Cheney and Sharon Nunn. Trucking freight prices experienced their largest monthly increase on record due to a combination of higher fuel prices and labor expenses. When businesses see their costs rise, they naturally strive to pass along those cost increases to consumers. Indeed, consumer inflation is now rising at its fastest pace in about 6 years. And then there is the issue of tariffs. Economist Ian Shepherdson of Pantheon Macroeconomics estimates that if America imposes a 10% tariff on another $200 billion of goods from China, that could boost the core consumer price index by around 0.6 percentage points. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Thursday Morning Economic Report. It doesn't appear to be as fashionable these days to fret about the national debt as it once was. For instance, 5 years ago, Congress initiated budget sequestration, which refers to automatic spending cuts to U.S. federal government outlays. the reductions in spending authority that were initiated back then were evenly split in dollar amounts between defense and non-defense categories. More recently, Congress decided to cut taxes. Meanwhile, federal spending has been expanding. Predictably, the annual federal budget deficit is on the rise. The White House recently announced that it expects annual budget deficits to rise nearly $100 billion more than previously forecast in each of the next 3 years. As indicated by the Wall Street Journal, a budget proposal released in February indicated annual deficits totaling $7.1 trillion over the next 10 years. The latest revisions increase these cumulative deficits by more than $900 billion to $8 trillion over that period. The White House Budget Office now estimates that the deficit will rise to above $1 trillion during the fiscal year that begins this October. For WYPR and my esteemed producer, Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu. This is Anibon Basu with your Friday Morning Economic Report. Over time, the number of married women who earn more than their husbands has expanded. But a new study finds that many of these married women don't like to publicize the fact. A study co-authored by Marta Murray Close and Misty Hegenis analyzed Census Bureau data and indicates that in instances in which women outearn their husbands, both spouses tend to exaggerate the husband's income while deflating the wife's earnings. The study, recently featured by CNN, finds that husbands who earn less than their wives reported their income to be 3% higher than what was on their tax returns. Here's the thing, the researchers found that wives inflated their husbands' earnings by even more. But when it came to reporting the wife's income, the opposite was true. Both spouses underreported the wife's income, but husbands tended to understate their wife's income more than she did. Of the couples analyzed by the study's authors, nearly 1 in 4 were in marriages in which the wife represented the primary breadwinner. The researchers say the findings show just how stubborn societal norms are. In this case, the idea of the traditional marriage. For WYPR and my esteemed producer Bob White, I'm Anibon Basu.